I am Planta on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia, at thecommentary.ca. Janice Berger joins me now. The renowned psychotherapist and author has just released a new audiobook version of her best-selling book, Emotional Fitness, Discovering Our Natural Healing Power, which was published in 2000. The new audiobook, A Conversation About Emotional Fitness, is incredibly useful in how Ms. Berger shares the wisdom she's gleaned from her over 40 years as a therapist. What makes Janice a particularly engaging personality is that she talks about her own experiences, which is eminently relatable to the listener and the reader. I asked Janice about how important it is to have emotional fitness and how aspects of childhood abuse, neglect, and deprivation need to be addressed. Otherwise, it has an effect in later years. Janice Berger has produced and hosted 3 television programs, as well as made numerous appearances in various media over her distinguished career, also appearing in sundry publications. Visit her website at janiceberger.com, and you can get the audiobook at audible.com. The audiobook features Janice with Geraint Wynne-Davies. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program in Toronto, Janice Berger. Ms. Berger, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
How long ago was it that you lived and worked out here in Vancouver?
Oh, my goodness. That was the early, late 50s, early 50s.
I see. And you were...
I'm going to be 83 tomorrow, so...
Ah.
That's a long time ago.
Well, happy birthday in advance. So you did you... I understand you worked here at VGH as did you work as a therapist, or...?
No, I was a nurse at that point. I was an assistant head nurse at the Vancouver General back then.
Mm-hmm. I see. The thing about A Conversation About Emotional Wellness that I found just fascinating is that you can learn a great deal. And, you know, they sent me the audio book, and so I thought I'd put it on and work on other things as I was listening to it. About, 15 minutes into it, I found myself sitting at my desk with a notepad taking notes down. And... I mean, there's just an incredible amount of information that I can't help but think that the people listening will find useful. And I guess that's why you did it, right?
Yes, it is. And you know, the original book is 19 years old now, and it's still selling, and I still get emails from people thanking me for having written it. And it's that sort of thing that you're talking about. It's information that... a lot of it that isn't known well out there.
Mm. And that's the main thing that I've taken away from it, is that our emotional well-being is just as important as our physical well-being. But we tend to ignore that, and I suppose because a lot of us can't see that.
Yes, and I think that we haven't understood the importance of our feelings and how they contribute to our well-being, how we deal with them contributes to our well-being.
And good emotional health, I mean, I guess the best question is, what does that look like? What does that feel like?
Well, I think at your core, you feel okay. You know, instead of being in turmoil at your core, or acting out dominance and threats over other people to have power over them. A person that is feeling good about themselves is, you know, open and clear. And they're also rational.
Yeah, when you say that, Janice, it really shows how a lot of us and a lot of people that we encounter, I guess we see that a lot, and that's why society is where it is. I mean, there's a great deal of anxiety in the world today, and not just, you know, amongst ourselves, but in the wider world. I'm sure a lot of people come to you for help and ask you what to do. What do you tell them?
Well, my thing here is that there is, you know, our world's a bit of a mess for sure, and things that are absolutely scary. However, I think what we haven't understood is that if we are anxious as children, then we carry that with us, like we carry all of our history with us, and that makes it much more difficult to be thinking clearly in a scary world that where we need to be doing a lot of things to improve.
Yeah, we know that children are resilient, and I guess because of that, we tend to overlook how important it is how a child is treated in those formative years, that a lot of it impacts their future life, let alone future generations. Why do you think it is?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, why do you think it is we overlook that?
Why we overlook it?
Yeah.
We've been overlooking it for a long, long time, let me give you an example with crying, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crying is really an important part of our emotional system, but we haven't realized, we think the crying is the hurting, but the crying is actually the healing.
Mm.
And just understanding that one thing makes a very big difference, because what I've been saying in the audiobook is, you know, if our children are allowed to express their full range of feelings, any feelings, then they don't have to develop a whole range of unacceptable behaviors in order to be heard. And that's what happens when our feelings are repressed and suppressed as we go along in life. Then we have these pockets of accumulated feelings below the level of our consciousness, and they get triggered up in our current lives in all kinds of different situations, and we end up, you know, acting all those out, having inappropriate reactions to people, to our children, inappropriate expectations. This suppressed feeling that we're carrying around but we're not conscious of is responsible for all kinds of difficulties and all kinds of suffering. Because, you know, you mentioned anxiety. Well, anxiety is rampant.
Yeah.
But anxiety amongst children is much more than it used to be. And so we have all kinds of acting out and splitting off from what our real experience is.
Yeah.
And that's the fundamental basis of a lot of the difficulties we're facing now in the world. And we see it. We see when people are full of anger, for instance, and they act that out with road rage. Or we see world leaders who are acting out their need for power and domination and control on the world stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crying, that aspect of it being healing is something that we overlook even as adults, and you talk about this in the audiobook, that growing up for you, grief was suppressed a lot, and only when you understood that and could get away from that did you find that your life was much better off, right?
Right, and it's not really getting away from it, it's going into it.
Going through it, yeah.
That, feeling that locked-up grief,
mm.
and feeling it enough to finish with it. This is the problem, like, the feelings don't get finished with. So people carry this residue of anxiety or anger or hurt. Well, actually, hurt's the fundamental one. It usually comes ultimately down to hurt, but all of those things that while you're carrying them around and you don't know you are, it's like what you don't know does hurt you. You can't be clear and free. You can't have that sense of freedom or the sense of a self, like an okay self.
Right. And then that phrase of
suppressing one's grief and you know, turning that inward makes you depressed. I mean, that's a source of, I mean, we're seeing depression a lot in society today, and I suppose that's just grief not having gotten work through, right?
That's right. And I've had many, many people come to me depressed and having no idea why they're depressed. And lo and behold, there'll be a probably a pretty difficult event in their past where they lost someone, someone died, and they were not encouraged to grieve as much as they needed to.
Yeah, we tend to think that if something bad happens, let's just move on and get on with life. But you really do. I mean, it does take you do have to take the time to work through it, right?
Yes, and that what you just mentioned is called denial, and it's a huge defense that's rampant. Yes, we want to deny because we think we can get away from it,
yeah.
And we can, you know, shut it down. But when we shut down, we're going to shut everything down. And all of us are somewhere on a continuum from shut down to fully feeling. But we don't feel alive the more shut down we are.
Yeah. You talk in a conversation about emotional fitness, about the idea of a healthy relationship between a child and a parent from the child's younger years, and this goes, I mean, it's incredibly useful right through to when a child is older and a parent is older as well. You write that there has to be respect and mutual respect, and this idea of it going both ways, even as a child. I guess some parents don't think about that, do they?
Well, no, I think you're right. Because somehow we haven't, you know, the golden rule, we haven't applied that to our children, many. Now, there's lots of parents out there that are wonderful in terms of what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but them we're not worried about. We're worried about kids who end up feeling worthless at their core instead of feeling okay. And so then they become completely dependent and can end up with all kinds of problems as adults. And the thing about it, Joe, is that we know enough now. We have all the research we need to tell us that childhood trauma, including emotional trauma, is going to cause problems for adults. There's some terrific studies mm-hmm. that help us know that. So it's not that we don't know that, but I don't think we understand how we can be the kind of parent we really want to be. Those are the ones that interest me a lot because they're well-meaning and well-intentioned, but they get triggered and so they hurt their kids and then they feel terrible.
Mm.
So that's what I've helped people with is so that they can connect back to what happened to them as children in a feeling way, not just the thinking or talking way, but in a feeling way. And then, you know, a child's biggest defense is to feel that things are their fault.
Mm-hmm.
But so they grow up feeling like there must be something wrong with me, right?
Yeah.
And that's at their core. Or they grow up, you know, with power over others in order to not feel so hopeless and helpless and despairing. But it's all back there in how those children were treated and everything from birth on is important, terribly important, as far as letting children discharge their feelings completely.
Yeah, you say that most harm done to children is unintentional. And I suppose to remember back when I was a kid, that's hard to, I guess, realize. And so what should parents do or adults do? To say disabuse children of the idea that what happened was, say, on purpose or malicious?
You mean an adult, like an adult an adult child you're trying to convince that
no, they like children today. I mean, when they act out or they misbehave, they think that they've been harmed by their parent or an adult around them.
Well, I think the more likely they think it's their fault.
Mm.
I mean, you will hear adults say, you know, that they got the belt when they were a kid, but they really deserved it.
Yeah.
And, of course, no child deserves to be hit.
Right.
For any reason. We have to completely change our idea about what children need. And instead of correction and punishment and control, what they need is real connection with their parents. And real connection is when you feel understood and acceptable. Because when you're getting the opposite, when you're getting put down or controlled tightly and all of those things, you know, maybe no choices of your own, you're going to grow up not feeling lovable, not feeling good inside yourself. And that gets acted out in huge ways. And, of course, we spend a lot of time analyzing and categorizing behavior. But the behavior is only a symptom of the pain.
Yeah. You mentioned this idea that a lot of us go through life thinking that we deserve the bad stuff that happens to us. A lot of people think that. And I guess a lot of people also chalk up or have faith in karma that it'll take care of things. And that's nonsense, isn't it?
Well, I think that that's another way we defend against feeling the rawness of some of the things we have to face in this life. We get beliefs or ideas that help us, you know, somehow get away from knowing just how precarious life is and how awful it can be. But the problem is when we push that all away that way, then, you know, ultimately we probably can't feel as much joy as is there to be felt either.
The other thing that as I was listening to the audiobook that I guess I should know this, but I've sort of put it at the back of my head, is that it takes a lot of work to get to good emotional health. And I guess some people listening to this might think, well, we can just think our way out of it. We really can't, right?
No, you can't think your way to emotional health. And actually, the process we own to be emotionally healthy, it's not something that you have to try hard at. I mean, if you just start by noticing your reactions and owning them as, well, this is, you know, my reaction. I'm not blaming somebody else for your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you begin to look at when you're overreacting, when you're being triggered, and try to start giving yourself a bit of time to feel around those incidences, you will begin to get your own insights and you begin your own process that is yours.
And speaking of the work that one needs to do, I mean, it does take a while sometimes. How do you convince those that, say, are reticent to take the time to work on it, to actually get the help that they need?
Well, that is very difficult. And the only way that I know to really convince someone else that that's what you want to do is to share your own experience. And if you have started to open up and you are feeling you're getting clearer about yourself and about your history and about what happened to you and why you are the way you are, share it with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you can talk anybody into. So the only way I know to do that, well, they could read my book or listen to the audio book,
yeah.
But, you know, as an individual, to try to talk somebody into that, it's not very easy. I would just share whatever I'm going through that's been helpful.
And so when you reflect, I mean, you mentioned it's been 19 years since the book came out, and you're still hearing from people. What is it like to know, Janice, that you've helped so many people?
Well, it's incredibly rewarding, but there's a lot of work to still be done, and that's why I'm still trying to put something out there so people will just understand to, you know, that feelings are not right or wrong, good or bad, they just are, and whatever they are, if you can let yourself feel them, then you'll start getting clearer about your problems.
And you mentioned sharing a moment ago, and I guess in helping others, I mean, what has that yielded for your own life? Has it been a much better life, say?
Oh, well, it's been a wonderful career because it's fantastic to have people come in pain and turmoil and you know, transform into people who actually feel pretty good about themselves. You know, that's a very big privilege that I've had. Does that answer your question?
Well, I guess the other thing that I was wondering about was your own whatever issues that you might have to deal with. I mean, the other thing that I'm thinking about in a career like yours, there is a difference between hearing and listening, and the good listening, if you will. I mean, you really get to understand the other person. And so how is it for you that whatever grief or trauma or problems that you're hearing from people that see you, I mean, how do you not carry that into your own life, say?
Well, any of us only are triggered by others' pain if it resonates with us, like if we are still in that pain ourselves in some form. So, you know, I've had a lot of years of noticing my triggers and taking the time to feel my way through them. And, of course, I had help, too, and lots of people need help for that. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying it's easy. It's a simple process, but it's not easy. And the more trauma you've had, the harder it's going to be, and the longer it's going to take. But I mean, I can be very touched by what I'm hearing from people, but I'm not triggered by it into big stuff myself because I've spent so many years clearing that out.
Mm.
And also because I know that's what they need to do. Like, we take people away from their feelings all over the place in our culture. We try to talk people out of their feelings. And that's one of the things that people do with suicidal folks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just listening and hearing the despair and acknowledging it and being there, they try to have them look on the bright side. And that just makes a person feel like you really don't understand them at all and drives them into deeper despair.
Mm. I'm sure you're asked this a lot, Janice. Can everybody heal?
Well, I think everybody has the capacity to heal mostly, but you have to have the right circumstances to do it. And we know that with the inequality in our world at the moment, the number of people living in poverty, the number of children living in poverty, the stresses that people are under just to survive, you know, it's pretty difficult to do the kind of work I'm talking about. One good thing, though, is the research shows that if mothers, for example, they've done studies this way, they've taken mothers who didn't have good childhoods themselves and so did not really know how to relate to their babies. But they take those mothers and show them how to do it and help them and have empathy for them, and they can heal themselves and be there for their children in a different way. But we need the political will to put a lot of stuff programs such as that in place and really understand that, I mean, our kids are the next generation, you know, that are going to be running the country and the world. So I'm pretty passionate about focusing on sort of the everyday treatment of children. and trying to see how much empathy for them, how important that is.
Well, long may it continue for you. I so enjoyed the audiobook and urge people to download it and to buy it and download it and listen to it. And if they'll get as much as I've gotten out of it, I'm sure it'll help a lot of people. Happy birthday, Janice. Thanks for this.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A Conversation About Emotional Fitness is available from Audible. Audible.com, of course. More information can also be found at janiceberger.com. Janice Berger joined me on the line from Toronto. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.